recorded live.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this one-hour live radio broadcast. And as always, we dedicate this program to Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, the Great I Am. We also dedicate it to His holy remnant, the believing sons and daughters of Jacob Israel, also known as the Caucasian or Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Today is the 27th day of February, year 2013, and we've entitled tonight's program, A Time for War. We're basing the title, of course, on Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we're going to read that here in just a second, and we'll see what the word has to say about when it's a time for war. And a lot of people at this kind of a squeamish topic, but it doesn't necessarily have to be, because whether you're not paying attention or not, take a look around the world. We've got wars going on all over the place. In fact, I dare say more people have suffered and died under terrible conditions in the last 100 to 200 years than in all of recorded history prior to that time, thanks to modern technology and airplanes and rockets and bombs and all such things, and also due to communism. And that's one of the things we want to talk about tonight. Who has hurt more innocent people on this planet than communism? All right. And yet the media doesn't seem to ever say anything about that. They'll throw things at you like Adolf Hitler, or occasionally they may mention some other despot. But very rarely do they talk about how many people have been hurt by the communists. There's a good reason for that, because the news media in the United States of America, and for the most part around the world, but definitely in the United States of America, is owned by communists. So they have a good reason not to allow you to know what they have done. Good evening, Cindy. I see you've popped in there. Very good. I didn't know that was your ID number. So good to have you back. And I see Legal Man made it tonight, too, and a bunch of our other regulars, so this is very, very good. So anyway, we picked a time for war. Before we get into Ecclesiastes, I want to read something for you here. And it's about our new website, in case you're not familiar with it. We finally do have a website after 12. Actually, now we've been on the radio almost 13 years. And it's byyahwehsdesign.com. And you just spell that all out, no spaces, by yahwehsdesign.com. And we do encourage you to go there. We put up information as it comes into us that we think helps educate and edify the remnant. Now, who's the remnant? Well, that's the overcomers at the end of the age. And who are the overcomers at the end of the age? That's Yahweh's people, quite simply. And why is that? Well, because Yahweh speaks to his people. That's why. Scripture tells us that the deception at the end of the age would be so great that even his elect would be deceived if it were possible. That's right out of Scripture. Why is it not possible? Because Yahweh intervenes in the lives of his children. That's the only reason. It's not because of who we are. It's not because we're anything special. It's because we are the ecclesia. The ecclesia, which is the Greek word, it's translated church, but it's not what it is, actually. Ecclesia simply means called out ones. And in fact, in the Greek language, ecclesia carries the connotation of being yelled at, as if somebody like a mother was standing on the porch at the farmhouse and she wanted the kids to come in from the woods, she would call out in a very loud voice. And that's what the Greek word ecclesia is referring to. Somebody shouting out your name, calling you. And who does the calling? Do we call him or does he call us? Well, it depends. Do you believe what's in your Bible or don't you? A lot of people think it's our choice. All the televangelists in today's modern church world want it to be assumed that you make the choice. And yet that's not what the word says. The word says that he calls us. That's why, again, we're called ecclesia, the called out ones. So anyway, we're going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the very first section of it here. For everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, in other words, the harvest time, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. Again, that's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, the modern-day propaganda that's coming across the news media and, of course, the bought and paid for whitewashed sepulchers out there known as churches today, full of dead men's bones, because that's the scripture's way of describing spiritually dead people, and that's what most churches are full of today, spiritually dead people. Now, is it a nice place to go and have a good time? Yeah, I've seen a lot of good people go and share meals together and laugh and everything else. But as I told my sister not too long ago, who went to a Baptist church, it was a nice service. There were pleasant people there, lots of smiles. Everybody was dressed well, had a good time. They had good musicians there. But as I was leaving and we were talking, I asked her, what did that have to do with what's going on in the world today? Now, maybe that sounds a bit hard and a bit cruel, but folks, we have to be pragmatic. These are perilous times, or else you don't believe what your Bible says. I mean, the Bible tells you these are perilous times because it's as in the days of Noah. Well, if you study your Bible, what was going on in the times of Noah? Take a look around you. So, everybody today is caught up in political correctness when, in fact, you should be looking just the opposite way. Political correctness is not what our Messiah practiced when he was here, did he? Let's see. He beat the Jews out of the temple that were collecting money, selling doves and other sacrifices to the Israelites, so they were trying to make a profit on the Israelites who forgot or just didn't bother bringing their sacrifice, so they would offer the doves and other animals for sacrifice at a profit. And Christ formed a whip out of cords and beat them from the temple. I don't see very much political correctness in there. If you read through the scriptures, you'll also find out that he didn't have too many kind words for the Sadducees and the Pharisees of his day, did he? No, he did not. So why is it the church world today wants to try to make everybody equal? In other words, why does the church world want you to believe that everything on two legs and has two arms is your brother, is going to heaven with you, is part of the kingdom, etc., etc.? Completely opposite of what the prophets taught, completely opposite of what the disciples said, and yet that's what they teach today. Now, could it be, as the church world teaches this blasphemy, that might explain the condition the world's in? Because, you know, Yeshua said you're going to be like salt, and he's going to scatter you throughout the world, and salt is a preservative. And so you as a believer who practices the law according to Yahweh's word, you have an influence on the world today. How much influence do our people have on the world today? And I mean the white Israelite Christians. How much influence do you have? Almost none. Well, for one reason, most white people today really aren't believers. because the scripture says if you're truly a believer, it shows up in the way you live, the way you dress, the way you talk, what you think is important, your priorities. All those things are affected by your belief system. So the scripture is very, very accurate when it says that your fruits or the way you are testifies as to the condition within you. So if the exterior doesn't show any signs of a conversion, that's what the word calls it, a conversion to the Father, then obviously there's probably not a true conversion on the inside. And it's just what the Messiah told us. He said, you can't judge a person's interior, meaning his motives, his thought processes, etc., because that's only where he has jurisdiction. So what do you do as a mortal person? Well, you have the ability to look at their fruits. Now, we picked the time of war simply because I happened to look at a YouTube put out today by Alex Jones's website. And yeah, I know you're going to sit there and roll your eyes. And Alex Jones is married to a Jewish woman. And, you know, you're going to say he's part of this and part of that. But you know what? The Father can use anybody to get truth out there. Didn't he use Nebuchadnezzar? And last time I checked, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't an Israelite, and he wasn't a follower of Yahweh, and yet he used him to accomplish his goals, his will. So can truth come from varied sources? Sure can. Should you be discounting truth just because it comes from somebody who's not 100% in our camp? Well, if you do that, I would say you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. There's a good one-liner we can add to the website from back in the days when I was a young boy. Are you going to cut off your nose to spite your face? In other words, you're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater? There's another good one. Okay? And don't kill the messenger because of the message. So you should keep an open mind and take in everything, as it says in Thessalonians, take in all things and keep that which is good. Now, how do you determine what is good? Well, you determine it based upon your knowledge of Scripture. Because if it's the truth, what does the word say? The Spirit testifies to the truth. In other words, if you're familiar with Yahweh's writings by his prophets, you will have a pretty good understanding if the things you're being told or the things that you see, if they fit into Yahweh's will or not. And then that'll give you a good idea of whether or not it's fit for keeping or throw it out with the trash. So when I say it's a time for war, because we have a war going on and just most people are oblivious to it, especially people in the world that don't have a clue what's going on behind the scenes, people that are just busy with day-to-day stuff. And I'm not saying that in a negative way, like that makes them bad people. It's just that they're so wrapped up. They're like the Israelites were back in the ancient times when they were dealing with the Philistines. Even though the sons of Jacob Israel were getting ready to go to war with them, there were a lot of Israelites that were down amongst the Philistines doing commerce with them and engaged in social intercourse with them. I mean, so right up to the bitter end. And then when the trumpet sounded for the battle lines to form, they dropped what they were doing and joined their brethren. And some of that is going to happen this time around as well. Some of our people aren't going to get it to the very end. But they will come around. And the elect, those of us who have been woken up early so that we could prepare for this time, it will be our jobs to teach them, to be the leaders and to teach them and to guide them and to show them where they had made their mistakes and where they could have prevented many of the pitfalls that they fall into had they listened to the true translations of the Hebrew and Greek texts into the modern English language instead of the modern day church world that uses the King James Version, even though it's got over 10,000 scriptural errors in translation. For instance, thou shalt not kill. That is not the commandment. The commandment is thou shalt not commit murder. Okay, is there a difference? There sure as heck is. If you don't know the difference, then shame on you. But there is a big difference between killing and committing murder. All right, you break into my home, or shall we say, you attempt to disarm me, and you are my mortal enemy, and it is my God-given right to dispatch of you in any way I can. Okay, that's killing. It's called justifiable homicide. Get it? Homicide, homo-cide, meaning killing of man. That's where homicide comes from the Latin. Justifiable killing of a man. Because if you break into my home uninvited, it is assumed you're there to do evil. And therefore, you're not innocent anymore, and therefore, killing you is not considered murder. The same thing goes if you come to disarm me for any purpose and any so-called legalities and other reasons, okay? There is no justification for that. And so the people that do that are doing so at the behest of the Antichrists, and they are your enemy. And they are most certainly there to do evil. Let me tell you something. Anybody trying to disarm you, according to philosophers like John Locke, is your mortal enemy. Because disarming you is preparing you for something far, far worse than what you can imagine. If you think it's going to be rough standing up to these cretins, these communists, these socialists that are trying to disarm us, if you think that's going to be rough, wait till they have disarmed you. Now, you can go to my website, and I have a link there that was provided to me today that takes you to another website where they list the horrors and the terror and the butchering that was done by the Bolshevik Jews. And that's just another name for the communists. They were Bolsheviks, and they were Jewish for the most part. And what they did to the Christian white people in Russia less than 100 years ago. So if you're not quite convinced of what's going to happen to you and your loved ones once they disarm you, go to that website or any of a number of other ones where they list history for you. Oh, no, you won't see this history in our politically correct American society because, well, it paints Jews in a bad light. And, oh, my gosh, we can't say anything bad about Jews now, can we? Even though they've committed some of the greatest atrocities in all of humankind, and yet you're not allowed to talk about it. Shouldn't that be setting off bells and whistles in your head that there's any subject in the land of the free and home of the brave where our Bill of Rights guarantees free speech, and yet there's people I can't talk about? Let's see, they don't have any problem talking about me or my kin or my founding fathers in a negative way, and yet these people are above reproach. They're above scrutiny. That should be telling you something. If you're paying attention, it should be telling you something. Okay? So is it a time for war? It's a time for war in the sense that you need to know that a war has already been proclaimed against you and your loved ones. It doesn't mean that I'm saying hit the streets because Yahweh will determine when we hit the streets. And we will. Make no mistake about that. Those who call themselves Israelites, those who are truly men with testosterone still flowing within them, albeit there may not be as many as we used to have, but there's still some. The Israelite warrior men who are Radamanthine in their character, they will be hitting the streets one day, but that day will be called and announced by our Heavenly Father and nobody else. But what we need to know today is that it is a time for war in the sense you need to wake up to it and defend you and your loved ones against those who are trying to do harm to you. The communists are here. The congressman back in the 30s, Joe McCarthy, tried to warn his fellow Americans. So did Charles Lindbergh, by the way, the pilot first man to fly across the Atlantic, if I remember right. He tried also, and so did his father. But they didn't get the media and the press because the Jews had already taken control of the press in the United States at that point. They already had enough power that was downplayed. Father Coughlin, if I remember his name correctly, was a radio host, and he tried to warn the American people. So did Henry Ford, the inventor of the mass-produced Model T Ford. He put out a book on every seat of every Model T that was produced in his factory, a book entitled The International Jew. Now, you might say, why was Henry Ford concerned about that? He was a rich man. He was powerful. He was bulletproof, so to speak. Why do you think he wanted everybody that bought a Model T to understand what international jewelry was up to? Because he was a businessman and he understood the tremendous power that they wielded in the United States, even back then in the early 1900s. Okay? Why? Because it is a war, ladies and gentlemen. Edom, Esau, all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, had declared war on we, the true sons and daughters of Yahweh. Now, if you don't believe that, then just burn your Bible, would you please? That's right. Go out tonight, take some kerosene, go out to a fire pit or a fireplace out in the backyard somewhere, and just pour kerosene all over it and burn it. Please, do us all a favor and stop being hypocrites. Just take your Bible out and burn it. And, you know, the Jimmy Swaggerts of the world that hold up that King James Version and just swing it all around up in the air and proclaim it's the inerrant word of God is a total joke. He's a joke, and everyone that does that is a joke. It's an English translation. The prophets and the disciples, etc., did not write in English. They wrote in ancient Hebrew called Paleo Hebrew, which was later translated into Koine Greek, Koine meaning common Greek, and the Old Testament was translated into the Septuagint in Greek, because in case nobody's ever told you, there are no extant Hebrew versions of the Bible in existence. We have some small fragments, but there are no whole texts in the ancient language. So Koine Greek is where you're going to find the true writings of the prophets and the apostles and the historians like the Dr. Luke and Matthew and Mark, okay? You're going to find it written in the Greek language. Now, you might say, why the Greek language? Well, that was the common language of the day, like English is today. And, you know, it's kind of funny. William and Mary College, when this country was founded, was a seminary, just like Harvard and Yale and many other large universities. They were seminaries. And do you know that in the 1600s in the colonies here, William and Mary College, as a seminary, required all entering freshmen to be able to read, write, speak, and debate in ancient Greek? Now, isn't that amazing? That's clear back in the 1600s, our preachers were better trained than these seminary-taught quacks and charlatans we have today. These Baal priests, that's what they are, you know. Today's preachers, for the most part, are Baal priests. And you say, well, why do you call them that? Because just look in the scripture and read the verses that talk about the Baal priesthood and what the Baal priest did. The job of the Baal priest was to keep the sheep subdued, and to keep those in power in power. In other words, maintain the status quo. And that's exactly what the modern day church does. It doesn't worry about what Christ taught. It doesn't care about Yahweh's teachings. It doesn't care about you and your family. It cares about staying in the good graces with the beast, which represents government, by the way, and to make sure that the money flows so that they can have a decent job and a decent retirement. That's what they're more concerned with. Just like Scripture says, The love of money is the root of all evil. So are they going to tell you the truth about what's going on? Would they tell you the truth about the Bolshevik Revolution and who was behind it? Would they tell you the truth about the Federal Reserve System and who's behind it? Would they tell you the truth about our intelligence agencies and who has infiltrated them, the foreigners that are at the top levels of our Justice Department and our intelligence agencies? Foreigners, people. And, you know, you say, well, that couldn't happen in America. Well, you better take a look around. It's already happened. Who was the very first director for Homeland Security? Michael Chertoff, the son of a rabbi. Chertoff himself was a federal judge in New Jersey, and at the time he was nominated, was under indictment for crimes. Isn't that amazing? And this is who they pick for Homeland Security. So here we have a Zionist Jew under indictment in one of the most corrupt states of the Union, and he's going to be the head of Homeland Security, an Israeli or Zionist Jew, whichever term you want to use for him, in charge of your Homeland Security. And it hasn't gotten any better since he left, by the way. You know, Americans really are probably, and I'm talking about white Americans, the real Americans, because America was founded by white European men, okay? If you don't like that, well then, tear up your history books. While you're out there burning your Bible, burn your history books, because you don't believe them either. And I'm talking about the real history books, not the made-up Hollywood DVD movie you buy and think that you're going to learn anything about real history. Just shows you how ignorant some people are. But we really are. Americans, meaning white Americans, are probably the dumbest people on the planet. And it's very interesting that Chertoff, which is a Russian word, Chertoff means son of the devil. Isn't that amazing? Son of the devil. Just like Christ said in John chapter 8 when he looked at the Jews who were trying to kill him, and he said, ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you do. Isn't that amazing? And yet the modern-day Christian hasn't got a clue as to who's causing all the trouble in our land. Really? Why is that? Why do you think it is that you don't know what's going on? We've got education starting from the age of 5, some people going through primary and secondary school all the way up to university for anywhere from 4 to 6 years, and then some going into graduate school. That's an awful lot of education. Well, is it education or is it just information? Or is it just a exercise that you go through so you get a piece of paper that proclaims you to be smart, when in fact you're an educated idiot? Sorry, but that's the facts. We have a lot of educated idiots in this country. Warrior Son of David has a good one here. He says, instead of television, we should call it Talmud vision. TV, Talmud vision, because the Jews get all their teachings and all their philosophies as far as their religion goes from the Babylonian Talmud, which is a collection of the ranting and raving of rabbis over hundreds of years contained in 66 books. Nothing of the prophets, not our prophets, but the writings of rabbis, because in the Jewish religion, a rabbi outweighs anybody in antiquity and even can argue and outweigh Yahweh himself. Can you believe that? Well, just go ask them sometime if they'll tell you the truth. So anyway, is it a time for war? Yeah, it actually is. It's already started. Just take a look back at what happened in the Civil War and all the time since then. It's already started. How many millions of our sons and daughters have bled the ground red for Jewish wars, for communist wars? Even before it was known as communism, it was still Zionism. And before then, it was known as the Edom Esau out of the Bible, the red. That's why they're colored red, and that's why the communists use the color red to represent what they teach, because they are the ancient Edomites, and red is their color. So is it time for war? Well, the war already started. You just haven't showed up for the party yet. You haven't taken note. Maybe because the murder and mayhem hasn't hit you directly yet. Maybe because you haven't had a loved one who has been done in by the sex slave trade or the drug trade or the pornography trade or the prostitution trade or the endless wars that these nincompoops get us into so that they can make more money. Or how about all the like war on drugs and war on terrorism, when how many innocent people have been punished and hurt by this? R.P. Wake says, please, Dan, I hope none of my family. Well, we pray for all of our families, and that's why that brings up a very good point. You want to do battle with the beast, then what does Yahweh tell us to do? What does the scripture say? Call upon my name. Read Psalm 91, people. Call upon my name. There's power in that. And if you want to protect your family in these very perilous times when our enemies have risen very high above us, we are the tail. If you want to do something for your loved ones that really matters, then remember this verse. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. The prayers of a righteous man, a Radamanthine man, availeth much. What does that mean? What does it mean? It means that if you are righteous in the eyes of Yahweh, that when you pray for the protection of your loved ones, it carries weight with the Father. What greater shield could you possibly have? No amount of food, ammo, weaponry, or whatever can protect you as well as he can. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't you be turning in your weapons. Don't you even think about it. Yahweh commanded that we be warriors. In fact, not only warriors, but to teach our women and our children the ways of war and the weapons of war. We have always been that way. But what it means is you cannot put your faith in your arm of flesh, meaning the things that you've done in the earthly realm here as mortal men and women. Okay? What it means is you put your faith in the Father first, and then the works of your hands will bear fruit. And your prayers of protection for your loved ones and yourself will be heard by the Most High. It will have a sweet savor to the Father who, as he sits upon the throne, rather than these hypocrites that go about doing all the things of the arm of the flesh, thinking it's going to have some kind of power to protect them, and really it won't. You got to understand, folks, what's happening in this world is a test. The Father is testing us because he has a right to test us. Okay? He made us. And if you don't understand that concept, you need to tune in somewhere else. Go watch your soap operas or turn on to the Talmud Vision or turn into Hollywood and we'll go get a Redbox movie or something. And don't even waste your time here if you can't get that part right. We were created, folks. If you think we just happen to show up on this planet and we're just a gathering of molecules from space and we turn into what we are today, you truly are dumber than a box of rocks. I'm sorry, but you really, really are. Evolution came out of the mind of a Jew, and it's total hogwash. All right? Total 100% hogwash. You belong to the Father, and it's his right to test us, and you are being tested. Now, these idiots, and that's what they are, truly idiots and liars and thieves and murderers who are attempting to disarm you, they've got all kinds of propaganda they're spewing out there. I saw a interview with Mr. Biden. Yeah, that clown that's the vice president. Yeah, he's the vice president, maybe your vice president. He's not mine. First of all, he's too damn dumb, both him and the president. They're not mine. They may be yours, but they ain't mine. They're both unbelievably, unbelievably naive and ignorant. He's on a talk show telling this woman who has a very serious question about her defense should she be attacked, and he's telling her. Now, get a load of this. I don't know how many of you have ever been down to a firing range, but a 12-gauge shotgun carries quite a kick, especially if you put the Magnum shells inside. Okay, even I can have a sore shoulder after firing off a few rounds of Magnum loads out of a 12-gauge shotgun. This retard is telling this very frail woman that if she's worried about somebody breaking into her home, she should get a 12-gauge double-barrel shotgun. Now, I'm going to tell you something. One single shot out of a 12-gauge will knock most young men and women and smaller framed females right on their butts. You let go with both of those barrels at the same time, and you're going to be on your rear end. And he's telling her that it's much easier to use and effective than an AR-15. Well, anybody that would say that shows just how dumb and ignorant they are, because if you go down to the rifle range, there's not a soul on this planet that if you give them a double-barrel 12-gauge shotgun and tell them to shoot it and then hand them an AR-15, that would tell you that it's easier to shoot the 12-gauge. I mean, really. That's just how stupid the people in Washington are. What they're hoping is that the people they're talking to are even dumber than they are. That's what they're hoping. They really hope that the people listening to their blithering idiocy are dumber than they are. But those of us that have done reloading and have been in the military and have been down to the firing range with our friends and our families and taught them how to use weaponry, anybody that's had any experience at all around them knows that that is probably one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. And they've said a lot of dumb things in Washington lately, but that's got to be one of the dumbest. But should we be surprised? No, we shouldn't be surprised. It's going to get worse. The war has already started, and part of the war is the Sun Tzu concept of win the war without firing a shot by mentally disarming your opponent. And that's what they're trying first, because these people do study Sun Tzu and the art of war. Okay? The very first attempt you make is to win your battle without ever having to fire a shot, and you do that by simply propaganda and terrorizing your enemy to think that they cannot win. Well, that would work if it weren't for the fact that we belong to the Heavenly Father. And I'm going to tell you something. They can say anything they want. They can threaten anything they want. The line has been drawn. No, you can't have the weapons. We know what you're up to. And one of these days, that trumpet's going to sound, and that Rhadamanthine army of Israelite warriors is going to hit the streets. And when that day comes, there will be no mercy shown to the enemies of Yahweh and the enemies of our race. None. Now you say, well, where do you come off saying that, Dan? Because I've read the book. It says so in the book. All you got to do is read the book, folks. It's right in there. Everything the Antichrist has planned for the children of Yahweh will not only not work, but it will be turned around and put upon them double. Now, when the scripture says that a judgment or a punishment is put on somebody double, that's pretty serious stuff. So the New World Order thinks that they're going to pull this one off, but they're just going to have it all fall back on their head. So all these drones and all these billions of rounds and all these weapons and all this high-tech crap that they've got out there, which, by the way, is supposed to make you quake in your boots, isn't going to do them a damn bit of good. Because we've already won this thing. Praise Yahweh. Not because we deserve it. Don't get me wrong. No. We don't deserve it. We're going to win because our Heavenly Father said he will not tolerate being mocked by these people. And let me tell you, they mock him as much as they mock you and I. He will not tolerate it. He'll let it go on for a while because it serves his purpose. He wants to find out who his true sons and daughters are. And what better way than to what we have happening today? Everything in the way of earthly or human way of looking at things looks like this is a done deal. There's no way that the Patriots can win. There's no way we can stand up against these tanks and these drones. And you know what? We're still going to win. That's the beauty of it. We're going to win. It's all a mind game. Just like in the movie The Matrix, it's all a mind game. Unplug from the Babylonian Matrix. Tune in to the Father in heaven, and guess what? You start seeing things that you didn't see before. I see evidences of the growing rebellion in this country every day, and the New World Order hasn't even begun to figure out where all their opposition is going to come from. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing to see these cowards tuck tail and run, because that's what they are. They are cowards. For another thing, Scripture tells us, and George Washington's vision and everything else tells us, that there will be rebellion in their ranks. That's already starting. It also tells us in the Word that their vanity would be their undoing. And tell me they aren't the most vain, hypocritical cretins on the planet than these New World Order types in Washington, D.C. and in some state capitals. Yeah, their vanity makes them stick out like a sore thumb. Remember also the verse, when the righteous stand firm, what happens to the wicked, according to Proverbs? When the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee. The only reason we haven't seen them fleeing yet is because somewhere out there, the righteous have taken on the attitude of being defeated already instead of standing up as victors, which is what we are. We've got this thing already won. All we have to do to decide is to decide to take a stand. That's all. Take a stand. And you can do that as an individual. You don't have to have everybody in your neighborhood take a stand. In fact, guess what? The Father is even more proud of you when you can take that stand and you're the only one in the room standing. Everybody else wants to take the safe road and sit down and try not to be noticed, but there you stand, like that Chinese boy did in front of those tanks in Tiananmen Square. You want to talk about courage? That boy had courage. What do you think they're going to do when there's whole rooms full of people taking stands, or whole communities, or whole counties, or whole states? They're already quaking, and it's just beginning. I've had people tell me that, we have a little thing going, and I'll say, what time is it? And my friends will think I'm looking at my watch because I want to know what time on the clock it is. But it's a little play on words. I say it's time to fix bayonets. Now, what do you mean by that? It's time to fix bayonets. What are bayonets for? Bayonets are for crowd control and defense. No, remember? Offense, the Rhadamanthine army of Ezekiel chapter 37 isn't going to take the streets until Yahweh himself, as Yahshua, sounds the alarm. So fixing the bayonets, in this case, simply means preparing to defend our homes, which we have always had the right to do, should somebody try to disarm us. Shame on them, because not only will they play hell getting those weapons on earth, when they go meet the Father, not going to go very well for them either. The scripture says, my people suffer from a lack of knowledge or truth. Hosea 4:6. But you know, there's also another verse that says, my people suffer for a lack of vision. You can look it up. I don't need to look it up for you. My people suffer for a lack of vision. Do you ever look at white people today? They have no vision. They have no vision of what we should be like because the media, the Bolshevik-controlled media, has propagandized you so badly that you're almost ashamed of being an Israelite, meaning a Caucasian. You're almost ashamed of it. Get the vision that Yahweh intends for his people. Get the vision of what this world will be like when we, his sons and daughters, exterminate the wicked, because that's what's going to happen. And again, if you don't think so, then please, while you're burning other things out there, like your Constitution, because you don't believe in it, well, then burn your Bibles, because that's what it says. All right? Be not afraid, because Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, gives us the spirit of courage, not the spirit of fear. C.I. says here, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Excellent, excellent, excellent. And right on the money. Right on the money. People say that they don't like reading the Bible because it doesn't make sense. Well, that's because your English translation is so poor. But there's other translations out there, folks. There's been some very good ones put together. None of them are perfect. I haven't seen one in English, even for R. Fenton, even Pastor Harrell's, even the Book of Yahweh from Abilene, the other Book of Yahweh that was produced back in the early 1900s. I've read most all of them, and no, there's none of them that's perfect. Every one of them I've got problems with. Well, that's me. Because I'm a purist. First of all, I don't believe any modern translation should have the word Jew in it because it's a made-up word. Why not use what the people that wrote the book in the original language used, which is either Judean or Jehudite? Judean meaning people that lived in the area of the old kingdom of Judah, or Jehudite meaning one of the 12 tribes people. The Greek word eudaios, that's what it meant. One of those two things. Well, translate it as one of those two things. And leave that made-up English word of Jew out of there. No good English translation should have that in there. Another one that I go to right away and see if it's any good or not is James 1, verse 1. If it doesn't say that it was written to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the book of James, well, then that translation, I throw it right in the trash can. If they can't get James 1, verse 1 right, then what's the use of reading the rest of it? I go to Genesis 3:15 to see if it's any good. I go to the Garden of Eden account in Genesis to see if it's any good. I go to the Ten Commandments in Exodus, and does it say murder instead of kill? Does it say thou shalt not commit race mixing instead of adultery? You see, how many English translations do you know have that right? Not very many of them, do they? So no, that's a bad part of it today. We don't have a one volume that's got it all right. But you know what? Yahweh said it was his glory to hide a matter, and our honor to seek it out and search it out and to figure it out, working as a team. Father wants us to work as a team. Well, work as a team, line upon line, precept upon precept, figure it out. He gave you the tools. I mean, if ignoramus me, a hick farm boy from Pennsylvania, can figure this stuff out, so can you. All the tools to do it are out there. Tools are out there. There is a war going on, and you need to get armed, folks. And I'm not talking about firearms and bullets at this point. I'm talking about getting armed with the truth. You need to have knowledge. The scripture tells us that there's power in knowledge. Christ said what? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What will it free you from? How about it'll free you from being afraid? How about it'll free you from having no vision? You will get the vision. How about it'll free you from your addiction to earthly things and the vices that the Bolsheviks put out there for you, like drugs and prostitution and pornography and all the other things he tries to entice our people away with? How about he'll free you from all kinds of things? He'll free you from a love of money. Money itself is not a problem because we do great things with money, but the love of money is a problem. We should always remember, first of all, that Yahweh said to keep his kingdom foremost in your mind, and then the rest would be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom, and the rest will be added unto you. You people that think Yahweh is just a genie in a box, and you just got to go up and smooth him over with some sweet-sounding prayer, and you're going to win the lottery, or you're going to have a suitcase full of money fall in your lap, or your girlfriend all of a sudden will love you more, or some other garbage like that. And that's not what he's here for, people. He's to be honored, revered as a father, as a creator. He's not a genie sitting up there to wait for your next command or wish. That's ridiculous. Mark 3 has 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For Yahweh hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sound mind. Boy, I can't wait for that Radamanthine army to show up. Okay, talking about getting back to basics, which is something we should all be doing, because if and when, I shouldn't say if, when this thing takes off because of some incident like Lexington did in 1776, you will have to be able to return to basics, okay? Because a lot of your niceties you see around you today, you're not going to have them, okay? It's just a matter of life, folks. Get used to it. You should be able to live without them now, just as a matter of preservation. And like the Amish, or like the Boy Scouts teach, you should be prepared for everything. Have a contingency for everything. Because nothing in this world is guaranteed to you, folks. Nothing. Except, well, some people say taxes, death and taxes, but actually taxes were meant to be as a punishment, not to be something that you can't do without, because actually we could do quite well without it. In fact, I read a very good article here recently saying, why don't we have a lottery instead of taxes? It would answer all the questions and all the problems. Only those with money would pay because they got money. Obviously, if you can buy a lottery ticket, you got money. The poor wouldn't have to worry about it because they don't have the money. They're not going to buy lottery tickets. And they shouldn't. And because of the fact of the government running it, if you think the government's not doing a good job, you stop buying lottery tickets. That's better than voting, isn't it? How's voting working out for you, by the way? Yeah, voting, right. That's because, again, we don't do what our founding fathers set up. We don't even listen to our founding fathers, let alone our heavenly father. Our founding fathers said that you should have elections, meaning that ballots are cast by electors. And what's the difference between an elector and a voter? An elector has qualifications, meaning he has to have some skin in the game. He's got to have an IQ over 75. We don't have that now. We got people with no skin in the game and no sense and no knowledge casting ballots that are of equal value to the person that's well aware of what's going on. The founding fathers said that's the most ridiculous thing you could ever do. And that's what we're doing. Now, part of back to basics is you should have some kind of way to produce water, because you don't go very long without water. Shelter, especially you folks in the northern climates where it gets pretty darn cold, shelter is number one. Number two is water. You better have a way of producing shelter, protecting yourself from the elements, and water, because you won't last very long without those two things. You could go quite a ways without food, but you're not going to last very long at all without shelter and without water. Now, they sell, a lot of companies sell good water filters, but I saw one in the other day searching the internet, and believe it or not, it was at Alex Jones's site, Infowars.com. And the reason I like it, it's a lot like the Burkefield water system, gravity fed, so there's no power needed or anything else. You just put dirty water in the top, you get perfectly clean water out the bottom. Very much like a Berkey. The only thing is the one that Alex Jones's website is selling is designed to take the fluoride out of the water. And the last time I did any research on the matter, it's very difficult to get fluoride out of the water. It's a little bit like estrogen. You wonder why so many boys are effeminate today? It's because we got so much estrogen in our water thanks to the birth control pills and the fact that Mother Nature doesn't have a filter to take out the estrogen. So the estrogen levels in the water supplies is going up and up and up because of all you ladies taking the pill. Satan came down and said, here, I've got something for you boys and girls, so you can just go out there and have a good old time. Don't worry about it. You just take this little old pill here and you just don't have to worry about a thing. You just have a good old time out there. Is that Yahweh's way? No. And now we're paying a price for it. We've got chemicals, we've got elements, compounds in our water that even the limestone and the things of Yahweh's way aren't able to get it out of there. Now, man has produced filters that'll take it out, as in the case of the Infowars.com filter. I think it's called Pure One. And I bought one years ago, and the filter to take the fluoride out was almost as big as the filter that takes everything else out. It was rather expensive, too. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Is everybody out there walking in shoe leather your brother? That's not what Messiah taught. He used the word, the Greek word, adelphos. And just like in English today, if a word is started with a letter A, it means from, like afar, to come from afar, afar. Adelphos means from Delphos, which is the womb. So the brother is an Adelphos, or from the womb. And what comes from the womb? People of the same kind, don't they? Oh, isn't that interesting? Isn't that what Genesis and all the rest of Scripture teaches? Kind after kind. Maybe that's why he wrote the commandment, thou shalt not mongrelize or create hybrids, hybrids of anything, seeds, cattle, vegetables, fruits, or people. He never authorized making hybrids. Never, ever. And as we close out here tonight, a lot of people out there, if they're just becoming awake, and apparently a lot of people are just waking up since guns and ammunition are at all-time record high, a lot of people say, well, what's the best thing to get? Well, you actually should have been doing this over a year ago, maybe even 5 years ago, when prices were reasonable because of the high demand. Right now, things are hard to get a hold of, and they're expensive. But back in the day, I told a lot of people, if you don't have a whole lot of money, one of the best buys I saw at gun shows and everywhere else I'd been is the good old-fashioned either AK-47 or an SKS, what they call an SKS rifle, which is an older version that shoots the 7.62x39 short, what they call the 30 caliber short ammunition. AKs and SKSs both fire that round. It is a very good round. It's very similar to a Winchester 30-30 round as far as its ballistics, which makes it a very good all-purpose round for both military maneuvers and for hunting. The 30-30 is an excellent deer round or any other game of that size, small bear, deer, elk, etc. And you can still pick them up relatively cheap. And again, they're not as cheap as they used to be. Used to be you could get them dirt cheap. Now you're going to have to pay a little bit more. But they're still there, so you have to do some looking. But it's you should do everything you can do to barter or buy. As it says in the book of Luke, when he told them that if they didn't have a sword, to be willing to sell some of their clothing in order to get one? Well, you're living it, people. How does it feel to be living Scripture? Because that's what he told them. When Messiah walked here, that's what he meant. If you can't defend yourself, if you haven't got the equivalent of the AR-15 today, which is what the short sword was in the days of Christ, then he says you should be willing to sell things that are what you consider very important in your life, which would certainly be your clothing. Today it might be your stereo or your 60-inch television or your Game Boy or some other nonsensical piece of hardware sitting around in your apartment or your home. You should be willing to give up something that you think is important but really isn't to obtain something to defend yourself with. Because, folks, I fear that we will live to see the day when the Second Amendment and why our founding fathers put it in our Constitution, you're going to live to see the reason for it. Because these people have got some very, very nasty things planned for you and your loved ones. They really do. And there's a ton of information out there that tells you what these communists are all about. And it's not pretty. Some of it is downright sickening when you read what the Bolsheviks did to the Russian people. It is downright disgusting. It's hard to even believe that somebody in a human form could commit acts of barbarism that disgusting. And yet that's what they did. And that's what they'll do to you if you disarm yourself. You can count on it. You can count on it. History has a way of repeating itself. With that, I'm going to have to close. We're at the end of the hour. We do hope that you'll go and visit the website and either sign the guest log there or the contact page if you have any kind of suggestions or if you know of articles or other websites or you have images that would be very good for the website. Please feel free to stop by there and say hello. I'm trying to set up an account to where those folks have asked me about making donations. I'm trying to set up a way that folks can do that. So anyway, we ask that you keep all this stuff in your prayers, keep all the guys in the front lines and up in the trenches fighting the hard fights, keep them in your thoughts and prayers. You righteous men, you Radamanthine men out there and ladies, you should be keeping your families in prayer, your loved ones, especially your children, because of these perilous times. So Father Yahweh, we ask that you watch over everybody that's called your child out there. You watch over them, you protect them, you give them discernment, you give them a stiff backbone, you give them clear vision to see through the lies and the propaganda. We ask also, Father Yahweh, that you protect us from our enemies. And we ask all this in Yahweh's name. Hallelujah.
TV reporter from down in L.A. He said he heard a song a little while ago on some obscure talk or radio show. Then he asked if I was the writer of the music I just mentioned in the lyrics above. But now that I look back at the wisdom I lacked, I probably never should have said too much. And as he pressured me to share with him a word or two, and we carried on our telephonic interview, a wee still voice inside my head was saying, "You're gonna be sorry for every word you just said." Then sure enough, right after he was through, he slandered and defamed me on the evening news. I should have listened instead to the voice inside my head, 'cause here's what it said to me. You don't go casting your pearls before swine, 'cause they're only gonna trample them into the muck and grime. And when they're through, they'll turn on you and burn you every time. So don't go casting your pearls before swine. And when I went off to sing a song in Washington, I was hounded by the dirty dog CNN, who said they wanted to do a favor for me by giving me a little free publicity. I should have never let them turn their lying cameras on, 'cause when the cutting and the editing was finally done, they put horns on my head by changing everything I said. They made me sound like the devil's own son. So you don't go casting your pearls before swine, 'cause they're only gonna trample them into
Heaving down a coconut, he crushed that wicked head.